Hallelujah. Glory to God on the highest. Peace and goodwill toward all men. That is one of my favorite greetings in the Word of God, and how awesome it is to be able to come together to share in worship, in prayer, in thanksgiving unto God. Well, I pray that you are experiencing God even during this time of shut-in, even though people are getting out and about a whole lot more these days, especially the past few days, now that Orange County has opened up, and certainly the traffic is back, and there's a lot of rustling and bustling about, going to and fro on the roadways, it's almost like it used to be. Hallelujah. The only difference is nowadays we have an extra accessory that is known as the mask. The mask. And this is now become a part of our lives, and I think that it'll be the new fashion accessory that will be added, and many of us will become accustomed to wearing the mask, and it'll be like no big deal. It used to be in the past only bandits wore masks, but now, you know, even the common everyday person is wearing masks. I've seen little babies with masks. Hallelujah. Little Leona has a mask. Praise God. And it's just amazing how things shift and how they transition and change so quickly in society. And certainly, I am amazed at how the Word of God is literally coming to pass in the midst of us. And it used to be we would read passages about famines and earthquakes and various types of tribulation coming into the world, and one world governments and all types of cashless societies. It seemed like it was so far off, and here it is upon us. Here it is, even now. So quickly things shift in just a few weeks or even months. And we know that the Word of God is preparing His people for such a time as this. This is why the Word of God is so critical and important in our lives these days. Do you know that the Bible is the only book that has the depth and level of authenticity that has been written by multiple writers, over 40 different writers and over three different languages and three different continents, and yet one central theme that is written, that is established, the Word of God. It is the only book that has been under fire, even attempted to be destroyed by nearly every major civilization throughout its history. Yet it succeeds, yet it still thrives today. Even today, during the coronavirus, I read that the number one selling book during the coronavirus is the Bible. And saints of God, you need to be reading your Bible. You need to be seeking the face of God. You need to be studying the Word of God, and so that you are able to stay ahead of the things that are taking place in and around us and among us. And this is what God has called us to do. This is what God has enabled us to do. He's preparing us for these days that we are in. We are not in these days by accident, but we are in these days by divine design. Your birth and your life has been established by God. He chose this season, this day, that you may represent Him to a lost and dying world. You have been called to this generation so that the Word of God and the representation of Christ may be established. Every generation has a people that are called to represent the kingdom of God, a remnant of people. And I pray that you are a part of that remnant. I pray that you are a part of those who are able to stand in the presence of God in the midst of the darkness of this world. This is a fallen world. It is a place where Satan has ruled, and he is the prince and the power of the air, as many of you know and as has been said many times. But we must always know that we have victory over the darkness. We have the ability to stand, even as we have been talking about having an excellent spirit. And we have talked about various people throughout the Word of God who have represented and lived and operated throughout history with an excellent spirit. We have been talking this month about spiritual perception. And it's so important that you have spiritual perception and not just human perception, but that you have divine perception. The ability to see and perceive the things of the spirit and of the spirit realm and of the things of God. It's so easy to get caught up in the darkness, in the things that are going on, the negativity and all the things that bring oppression and bondage. It's easy to get caught up in those things. But if you have spiritual perception, then you will have the light of God shining through what you see and hear, bringing revelation and understanding so that you would be able to operate in an excellent spirit, not a spirit of fear and doubt and anxiety, but a spirit of faith in God, a spirit of fortitude and determination to represent the kingdom of God, to testify of the things of the Lord. And this is what we are all about these days. And this is what God has called the people of God to do and how to represent. Today, we will be taking a look in the book of 1 John, primarily in chapter 4. And beginning here in verse 1, it says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Well, saints of God, I pray that you understand that there are false prophets out in the world today. And the amazing thing about false prophets is that they are not obvious. Satan is not obvious. The works of evil are not always obvious. In fact, the Bible describes Satan as one who comes as an angel of light. He comes appearing as if it is someone who is attempting to be good or to do good, yet they are used of the devil. It is satanic at the root of what they are doing, and they are operating in a way to bring about a spirit of Antichrist. And that spirit, the Bible tells us, is already in the world. It has been for many, many years, even since the days of Jesus. And so, as we examine the Word of God today, I challenge you to be one who is able to discern the spirits so that you would be able to see in the dark. Today, I would like to use as a theme, seeing in the dark. Seeing in the dark. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Well, let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And we ask, oh God, that you would arise and that you would show yourself in the midst of us. Lord, we rebuke the devourer and every evil and hindering spirit and thing that would work against us, that you would be able to speak clearly into the minds of the listeners, and that you would be able to bring forth life within us, that your glory would manifest itself, that we would have peace that surpasses all understanding, that we would be able to operate and navigate through life, through even this season, this day and age that we have found ourselves in a way that demonstrates the footsteps of the righteous being ordered of the Lord, and that we would have confidence in God, knowing that all these things are in his hands, and he has already formulated a plan to see his people through, even as he's done in years past. And Lord, we thank you, O God, for the manifestations that you have demonstrated in the midst of our lives, even through this coronavirus. In Jesus' name we pray, And we thank you, O God. Amen and amen. Well, hallelujah. I've been worshiping and singing and praising God, and the Spirit of the Lord is moving. And we are so grateful for the worship team and all that God is doing. And I pray that you are able to follow Jesus, that you are following him, not just following the various social media posts that are going on, but that you're following Jesus. It is what God requires us to do. And as we follow him, he enables us to see in the dark. You see, this is the world that is filled with darkness, filled with all types of evil and things that are deceptive and not always what they appear to be. And so we need to understand that we need to have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. And God has called you and me for such a time as this. And so as we dive into the Word of God today, I would like to begin by making this statement that life is a gift. Life is a gift. Do not underestimate the fact that your life has reason and purpose. Your life has value. It is a life that has been established by design. Life is a gift. And so in Psalm 139:13, it begins here as we begin. It says, "For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb." Immediately from the very beginning, we see the psalmist is saying and making the point and bringing out the fact that you and I are created by God, have been formed by God in our mother's womb. In Job 31:15, he says, "Did not he who made me in the womb make him? And the same one fashioned us in the womb." You see, life is a gift. It is a gift from God. He is the one who gave us life. He breathed into us and we became living souls. This is what God is working out in our lives, but it begins with this understanding so that we would be able to overcome the obstacles of the enemy, that we would be able to have confidence so that we would be able to see Satan would have you believe that your life has no value, that you have no purpose and that you have no real reason for living. But that is a lie. You have been designed by God. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, the Word of God also tells us. And so Isaiah in chapter 44, verses 1 and 2, he says, "But now listen, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen." Hallelujah. "Thus says the Lord, who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you? Do not fear, O Jacob, my servant, and you, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen." Saints of God, you can substitute your name, not necessarily, "O Jacob," but say, "O," and say your name. Or Jeshurun, say, "Oh," say your name, say your family member's name, say your neighbor or your friend's name. God wants you to know that you do not have to fear, because God is the one who made you and formed you from the womb, and he knows what you are facing. He knows what you are going through. He knows what you are dealing with, and he is here to help you. If you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be delivered. In Acts 10:30, we see that Cornelius says, "4 days ago to this hour, I was praying in my house during the ninth hour. And behold, a man stood before me in shining clothes. And he said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God.'" Saints of God, if you cry out to God, he will hear your cry. If you are willing to call upon the name of the Lord, you will be delivered. Cornelius is letting everyone know, letting all of us know that he was able to hear this response from God, that his prayers had been heard and his alms, His alms were his contributions, the things that he had done to be a blessing to others. If you are a giver, then your heart will be the heart of God, be aligned with the heart of God. God wants to use and be there in the midst of those who are givers, those who are able to live beyond themselves. And so in verse 32, it says, "Therefore send to Joppa and invite Simon, who is called Peter, to come to you. He is staying at the house of Simon the tanner by the sea. And so I sent for you immediately, and you have been kind enough to come. Now then, we are all here present before God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord." And so we see in this passage how God has moved upon the heart of these people who are hungry for God. When you are hungry for God, when your heart is right for God, God will respond to you. He will answer you. Why? Because God has formed you in the womb. Your life has value, and you are able to be used of God. In fact, God wants to use you. He knows that you can be a blessing if you apply the principles of his word in your life. And so he goes on in verse 34, opening his mouth, Peter said, "I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality." God wants to use anyone and everyone whose heart is for the Lord, whose heart is willing to call out to God. And so he goes on, it says, "But in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him." Well, I pray that God would use you as you are from the nations of the world. Certainly you're from one of them. We are certainly from the United States of America here in this place. And certainly I pray that if you're watching this, you probably have some degree of fear for the Lord. And your desire is to do what is right. And if that is your heart, if that is your mindset, then God will welcome you. You can welcome God. And you will be able to see and establish this relationship with God. That is what God wants us to do. And that brings me to the fact that life is an opportunity. Life is not only a gift, but it is an opportunity. It is a chance for you to experience life the way God has designed it to be, so that you would be able to be used of God, so that eternity would be yours. In fact, in John 1:12, it says, "As many as received him, to them he gave the right," or the authority, "to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name." I pray that you believe in the name of Jesus. The connotation here is that the opportunity comes to you if you believe. You must first believe. When you believe, opportunity comes. Doors begin to open. And it says, "To them he gave the right," or the authority, "to become the children of God." Do you want to be a child of God? Is that your desire, to be one who is born of God? Well, the opportunity will come to you if you believe on his name. Place your faith and your trust in Jesus. Not just believe that he existed, not just believe that he was a historical figure or a person who lived during a certain period of time back in the old days, but that you would believe in his name. In fact, the name of Jesus has power in it. When you believe in the name of Jesus, it changes everything. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God. Hallelujah. I pray that you believe in his name. It says, "Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Oh, God wants you to be born anew, born afresh, born of God. I pray that you are born of God today, and that you are experiencing new life utilizing and taking full advantage of the gift that God has given you, seizing the opportunity. It says here in Esther 4:13, as we know the story of Esther and Mordecai, and it says that Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, "Do not imagine that you in the king's palace can escape any more than all of the Jews." And he goes on and he says that, "For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this?" The saints of God, this can be said of any of us. We are all in the various positions and places that we're in. We can generically say, here we are in United States, arguably the greatest nation in the world. And we could be able to say that it is a blessing to be a U.S. citizen, to live in America. And certainly that is because God has enabled it to be so. It is because God has brought us here, not just for ourselves, for our own prosperity, for our own way, but so that we would be used of God for such a time as this. Esther was made the queen. She did well in a beauty pageant. And as a result, she ended up as the queen of the king. And so because of her beauty and because of all that she had, she could have said, "I did it myself. Look at me, I'm a beautiful woman. The king wants me to be his queen." And she could have gotten caught up in herself, but she did not. She was fearful and she was concerned about what was going to happen, especially because there was trouble in the midst of the city. But God did have a plan, and she was a part of the plan without her even realizing it. Saints of God, you can be used of God. And I believe that you have been born into this world. You are in the position you're in. You are in the job you're in. You're in the place that you live. You are in the city, in the town, in the village. You are doing all that you do by divine design. God has brought you to where you are for such a time as this. I pray that you would understand that your life has a purpose. There is opportunity that lays before you. God wants to use you in a powerful way. I pray that you are ready for the hand of God, for the move of God to take place in your life, that God would be able to use you. In 2 Peter 3:9, it says, "The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." Well, I pray that you are coming to repentance today, that you are coming to a place where you are able to shed off the world of darkness, that you are able to see and understand what the hand of the Lord is doing in your life, that God is guiding you through the darkness. It may seem like you're suffering and going through all types of challenges and difficulties because of whatever reason, but know that God is with you. He is the one who's ordering your steps. He is navigating you, and his desire is not that you would perish, but that you would have life, eternal life, life that lasts for eternity. In Acts 2:38, Peter says, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." You need the Holy Spirit in your life. It is the Holy Ghost that enables you to have strength, that enables you to operate in the realm of the presence of God. It is the Holy Spirit of God that gives you strength and gives you the ability to stay with a clear mind, the mind of Christ. Because as you abide in the presence of God, the anointing of God will break every yoke of bondage. I pray that you are applying the principles of God, the word of God that teaches us, so that we would understand how to navigate through these challenging times. In verse 39, it says, "For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself." Saints of God, he is calling you to himself. God is calling you to himself. He is calling your children and your children's children throughout your entire lineage, all who are far off. Your lineage is being called of God. God has said that he would have that you would be saved and your household and your lineage. God is calling your lineage. That God is reaching into you so that he would dig deep down into the depths of the core of all that you are and all that you represent to draw you to himself. I pray that you are not resisting the call of God, that you would be able to abide in his presence, that you would walk with him and commune with him and allow him to make you the person he's called you to be. I know this isn't easy. Life is a challenge. Life is a challenge. Life is not meant to be easy because Satan doesn't want it to be easy. The Garden of Eden changed everything. And when Satan came into the world and beguiled Eve and Adam disobeyed God, we found ourselves, our entire lineage was found in a place of difficulty and darkness. Life is a challenge. And I pray that you understand that because life is a challenge, it means that it's going to take some work. You need coaching. You need someone who can advise you, who can direct you, someone who knows how the game is played, someone who understands what is happening behind the things that you see. The unseen, the realm of darkness, is a place that is operating even in the midst of us so that we are seeing but cannot see. And it's not until the Holy Spirit comes into your life and the Word of God begins to bring revelation to your heart and mind that the light of God begins to shine in your life so that you can see in the dark. And so 1 Peter 5:8 says, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Do not be ignorant, my friends. The devil is a very real entity. He is at work in the world today. He is at work all around us, in the midst of us. He is everywhere, and his agents are everywhere. And he is doing things that you and I cannot see. And that is why we need to be able to be guided by the Spirit of God. We need to be of sober spirit. We need to have the Spirit of the Lord operating and moving in the midst of us. And we ought to be on the alert. I pray that you're on the alert today. I believe that this coronavirus scenario is a sign of the times. And it is a way of God causing us to be on the alert. I pray that you're on the alert. I pray that you're getting your house in order. I pray that you're preparing so that as the Spirit moves, leads, and guides, and he orders the footsteps of the righteous, that you would be among those who are able to navigate through the things to come. Oh, saints of God, I pray that you are not ignorant concerning these things. In Luke 1:78 and through 80, it says, because of the tender mercy of our God, which with the sunrise from on high will visit us. And then he quotes Zechariah here and says, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Saints of God, God is trying to reach you. God is trying to deliver you out of the hand of the enemy, out of the place of darkness. There are many who are in your own household who sit in the darkness on the shadow of death. And maybe it's you today. I pray that you would make up your mind to turn to God. The Lord is calling to you. He is reaching out to you to guide your feet into the way of peace. If you don't have peace, if you have anxiety, if you have all types of issues and concerns that are causing you to lose your joy, then that is a sign that you are sitting in the seat on the shadow of death, the seat of darkness. you need to be able to see what the Spirit of the Lord is doing. When you're able to see what God is doing, when you're able to see what the Spirit of the Lord is doing, it changes your perception. It enables you to see from the perspective of the Spirit of God. And I pray that you're able to see from the perspective of the Spirit of God, that you have spiritual perspectives today, that you are able to see and navigate through the challenges of life. He says, and the child continued to grow and become strong in spirit. And he lived in the desert until the day of his public appearance to Israel. And certain we know that this is a representative of John the Baptist. And God has called us for such a time as this. He lived a challenging life. He lived a difficult life. At least you don't live in the desert. Hallelujah. There are some people who do. I'm not talking about California. I'm talking about in the deserts of the Middle East and living, eating locust and wild honey. You eat a lot better than that, I know, because ShopRite shelves were empty. People went in there, cleared everything out, and I didn't see. I think the shelves with the locust and wild honey were still there. You could go there, and you could probably buy locust and wild honey. It's probably still on the shelves. Well, maybe there's some honey, but certainly, I don't know, maybe they don't have locusts, but you can find something close to it, maybe grasshoppers. Hallelujah. And so God has called us for such a time as this, that we would be like Jesus and like John the Baptist. It says that they grew and they became strong in spirit. And you need to grow and become strong in spirit today. You need to be able to be prepared. They were being prepared for public ministry. You need to be prepared before you get out there. So many people, they just want to jump up into ministry. I'm called of God, and I got a gift, and they want to run out there, but they have not been prepared. They have not yielded themselves and subject themselves to the process of being molded and shaped so that they might be ready and capable and able. And that is what the role of the church is. And the church is so that we may prepare the people so that we would be able to endure and deal with situations like this. In John 8:12, it says, then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. You see, when Christ comes in you, your life becomes a light. Hallelujah. Your life becomes a light. And when you begin to apply the principles of God in his word, when you begin to obey the word of God, the light of Christ begins to shine. The anointing of the Holy Spirit begins to shine. When you apply spiritual principles, the principle of meditating on the word of God so that you will know how to pray and you would be able to pray in the right way and not pray amiss. So the word of God would give you direction. Even as you put that together, you become a worshiper. You become one who lifts up holy hands, who cries out to God, who gives thanks unto the Lord, who remembers the testimonies of God and recounts them to others so that life would be imparted to all those around you. This is what the work of the Spirit will do. This is what the light of Christ will do. And God will give you light. He will breathe life into you, and light will be the result. People will see, and you will be able to be the witness to the world. In verse 2 of 1 John 4, it says, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Hallelujah. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, of which you have heard that is coming, and now it is already in the world. The saints of God, this has never been truer. Verse 4 goes on, he says, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. You see, the prince of darkness is in the world. He is operating all around us, and he has blinded the eyes of many. But those who are in Christ, those who are from God, those who have yielded and surrendered themselves, have eyes to see, have ears to hear, who are able to overcome, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. I pray that the Spirit of the Lord is stirring within you, that the anointing of God is working within your heart and in your life. It says they are from the world. Therefore, they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. You see, people who interact and are able to have favor in the world, it's a sign that they are operating outside of God. You see, when you speak under the anointing and in alignment with the word of God, there will be resistance because it is truth and because it is revelatory. It is what enables people to see in the dark, to see what's going on behind the scenes, to see the marionette puppet strings and all those who are pulling the strings. This is what the Spirit of God will do for those who listen to God. And this is what God is working out in our lives. In 1 John 4:2-6, it says, 2-6, verse 6 says, we are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Saints of God, John is talking generically here, and he's speaking to the world. He's speaking to all of us. This is the message for us today. If we listen to the word of God, if we listen to the writings of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if we follow the principles that Paul has espoused in his letters in the New Testament, as we obey the principles of the Old Testament and apply those concepts that God has given us in his word, then we will be able to see the hand of God manifested in our lives, because we are from God. And saints of God, when you align yourself with the word of God, God transforms you into his image. And so this is how we increase our spiritual perception. Well, first we read and study the word of God. That gives us wisdom. The word of God will give you wisdom and direction. It will teach you how to operate in the realm of the spirit, how to apply spiritual principles so that you would be able to have eyes to see even in the midst of the darkness. It will also enable you to spend time with God. When you spend time with God, you will walk with God. You will spend time with him in prayer. Every day you must establish your relationship with God. No relationship can work without consistent interaction. And the best relationships remain intact because there is constant fellowship. There is a unity. There is a working together that takes place. This is what you must have with God every day. And you must pray. That means you talk to God. But you cannot just pray. You must know what the word of God says, because the word of God gives us direction in prayer. The word of God teaches us how and what to pray and in what manner to pray. And so when we apply those principles in prayer, then we are able to gain strength and be fortified in God. Next, we must be an active member within a local church. I've heard so many people say, I can serve God from home. That's not what the Bible says. You need to be a part of the church. Jesus died for the church. Jesus gave his life for the church. You need to be a part of the church. And that is why the church is important. The body of Christ is made up of people in churches, people connected through churches. This is what we are. That's who we are. The church is a place that God designed to train people, to help people grow. You see, you will never really be able to be effective for the kingdom of God until you are able to interact with other people. People who can't get along with other people, they don't want to be in a church. They make up an excuse. I don't need to be a part of a church. But saints of God, you need to be a part of a church, because being a part of the church will help you see your own shortcomings. It will help you see your own weaknesses so that God can begin to refine and transform you from the inside out. If you don't recognize your issues and your problems, if they're not brought out, then how do you deal with them? You cannot deal with them. The only way to deal with problems and issues is if you are first aware of them. You must be aware of things, and that's what the church does. When we interact with each other, we're aware of things. We're exposed to more. One of the benefits of our church that we love is that we are so diverse. We have people from many nations. And so we are quite happy about the diversity of our church. And this is important because we learn how to adapt and work with people from different cultures and different backgrounds. And so we're able to have patience and work and live and interact together because we are being transformed by God. God is using the opportunities that God has given us to make us the people he's called us to be. That is the role of the church. And so finally, you need to make everywhere you go a place of God's presence. You ought to bring God's presence everywhere you go, whether you go to work, whether you go to ShopRite, or whether you go to Walmart, or whether you're just driving around in your car. The presence of God needs to be there. The anointing of God needs to be there because God needs to be able to speak, and you need to be able to hear, and you need to be in a state whereby God can minister to you. And so God is calling us and establishing us so that we would be able to develop spiritual intuitiveness and maturity. Develop spiritual intuitiveness and maturity. This is what we all are cultivating, and we are looking for God to develop in our lives. This is what God wants to do for you. Hallelujah. And so in Hebrews 5:12, 14, it says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant." Hallelujah. "But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." This is what God is working out in our lives. This is what the church is all about. This is what the Christian has to go through, this process of being made mature. And it takes practice. You cannot just have memorized a bunch of scriptures, or you have just been a Christian for a certain amount of years, and so now you feel and think that you know a lot and you want to rise up because you feel you have a calling or a position. No, it takes practice. It means you have to interact and work with other people, and so that God can mold you and shape you. And that is being a part of the church, being a part of the body of Christ, and that you will have your senses trained to discern good and evil. You must learn how to discern good and evil. That is what the role of the Holy Spirit is. That is what God is calling us to do and to be. And this is what enables us to do, as 1 John 4:1 says, to not believe every spirit. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Testing the spirit is important. Testing the spirit can only be achieved as you abide in the word of God. You can only discern if a spirit is of God or not as if you know the word of God. You must try the spirit. The word there for test, it's the idea of like when metal is formed. When forming steel, they put it under high heat and pressure. And that heat and the pressure and the intensity of the fire is what makes it strong. This is what God wants to do in your life. He'll make you strong as the intensity of the challenges of life are fortified in your life. You see, God wants you to know and not be ignorant. And that is why the footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. I pray that you're testing spirits. Don't believe everything you read and everything you hear. Don't jump and allow your heart to be troubled by all the YouTube videos that you watch about all the crazy things that are happening around you. Know that God is operating in the midst. Know that God is at work in the midst of your life. Don't believe every spirit, but you test it. You test it. Some would say you fact check it against the word of God. Fact check it against the word of God and the truths of God, of what is really happening, really going on. God will navigate you through. That is why you are in the hands of God. The word of God says those who belong to him, that he would no wise cast out. And when you are in the hand of God, no one can pluck you out. No one can take you from God. God will enable you to see in the dark. He will enable you to make it through the challenges and the difficulties. He will order your steps. He will lead you. He will guide you, because you have been born for such a time as this. I pray, saints of God, that you are able to see in the dark, that you are able to walk in the ways of God, knowing that your life has meaning and purpose. You have been called for such a time as this. And the challenges that you face are only designed to refine you and demonstrate the power of God at work in the midst of you. Well, I pray that the Spirit of the Lord would be exalted in your life and in all that you do, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Come on. My hope in you.
He's your only hope.
Show me your way.
Amazing. Many of us are getting swept up by all the negative things or scary things that we're seeing and hearing in the news and even on various YouTube websites. And people are sending out information, and the information is getting pulled down, and there's all kinds of stuff that's happening, and people are panicking and they're fearful. But I want to let you know that God wants you to be able to see in the dark. He wants you to know that you have been born for such a time as this. And if your faith and your trust is in him, you shall overcome. You shall prevail. The Spirit of the Lord is in the midst of us today. And God is working and molding and shaping his people, that we would be the people he's called us to be. I pray that the glory of God would manifest itself in your life, that you would know that no weapon formed against you shall prosper when you're faithful to God, when you're walking in his ways, when you're abiding in his word, and everywhere you go, the Spirit of the Lord is stirring and working. I pray your mind is renewed, and that the glory of God is in everything you do, everywhere you go. God will enable you to see in the dark. You have been made alive in this year of 2020 for such a time as this. And God will enable you to see yourself through as the Holy Spirit orders the footsteps of the righteous. You will see not just what the devil is doing, but you will see what God is doing. And God will reveal himself and his ways so that you can have victory even in days that are dark. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on.
My hope in you.
My hope in you, Lord.
Show me your way.